家早上好。
Always a pleasure to be here.
非常高兴啊，每次都是这样啊，到你们中间来。
Let me ask you a question to start out with this morning.
我先问大家一个问题，今天早上。
When was the last time that you were really angry?
上一次什么时候你非常非常的生气？
I hope it wasn't this morning.
希望不是今天早上。
But I want to tell you a story when I had a choice.
我要跟大家讲一个故事我可以有自己的选择。
Now many of you know that I have three boys.
很多人知道我有三个儿子。
All three of them are Aggies.
每个人都是 A&M 的学生。
One of them has just graduated, praise God, from the school.
有一个已经刚刚毕业，感谢主。
And he is working as a youth fellow over in at the Anderson campus.
他是现在在 Anderson 的 youth campus 做 fellow 在服侍。
He's the one with the beard.
他是照片上那个有胡子的那个大儿子。
My second one hopefully graduates in May.
我二儿子希望他五月份应该能够毕业。
He's the one with the hat that looks more like me.
这个他是头上戴的帽子，看着比较像我的那一个。
And the third one is taking a circuitous path through the university like his father.
第三个就是走的是那个最保险的那条路，就像他父亲一样。
I could tell you a lot of different stories about my sons.
我可以跟大家讲我儿子的很多很多的故事。
As a matter of fact, having three sons gives me endless sermon stories and illustrations.
当你有三个儿子的话，那你讲到的时候，这个例证，那个事，故事就会讲不完。
But there was something interesting that all three of my sons did kind of in a similar fashion.
但是有一件事情很有意思的是，发生在三个儿子每个人身上都有。
And that is this, that the first year that they were driving, they all had car accidents.
这个相同的事情就是他们开车的第一年，每个人都出过车祸。
Now, for those of you who have younger children, you're not going to like the story that I tell because it gives a peek into your future.
Well, 如果你家里有个年轻的孩子的话，你可能不喜欢听我讲的这个故事，因为我让你看到，将来可能会发生的事情。
But you need to know what's about to happen in your life.
但是你应该知道，有些事情是躲不了的。
So my second son, Noah, was driving one day on Highway 6.
所以我的第二儿子诺亚有一天他在六号公路上开。
And it was raining outside.
外面在下的雨。
He's actually a pretty careful driver, so it's not that bad.
其实他开车还是平时很小心的。
But he came over the bridge at Barron Road and realized that all the traffic had stopped.
他从那个 Barron 那条高架那个桥上往下的时候，看到前面的车都停在那里了。
So even though he skidded, you know, slammed on the brakes, he skidded and he hit the car that was in front of him.
所以虽然他猛踩刹车，那个车还是滑行往前撞在前面的车上。
And did quite a bit of damage to the minivan that he hit.
前面的车是个 minivan, 给他撞的还是坏掉还蛮多。
Thankfully, no one was injured.
感谢主，没有人受伤。
And he called me and told me that he had the wreck.
然后他打电话给我说，哎呀，我撞车了。
That's opportunity number one to be angry.
这是第一个我可以发火的一个机会。
As it turns out, during that time, Noah was helping out with our junior high ministry, and so he had a junior high kid in his car at the time of the wreck.
其实当时呢，挪亚他是在帮助中学生的教会的活动，所以车上还坐的一个中学生。
So for me, that was phone call number one to that family.
所以这个对我来说是第一个电话要打给那个孩子的家长。
And because we live in a small town, it turns out that the person that he ran into also goes to Grace Bible Church.
因为这是一个很小的一个镇，其实他的车被撞了，那个车上的那个家庭正好也是 GBC 的会员。
So that was phone call number two.
所以我要打第二个电话给那个家庭要打电话。
When I got that phone call, Noah was fearful that I was going to be very angry at what had happened.
所以诺亚接到我给我打电话的时候，他当然很害怕，以为我会生气会发火。
He was actually surprised that I responded so calmly.
其实他非常非常的惊奇，就是我跟他讲话的时候， 语气非常的平和平静。
And so we just spent the next couple of weeks kind of gathering the parts and decided to fix the car myself to save money.
所以接下来几个星期我们订了很多这个零件，我们想省点钱自己把这个车修好。
And because I try to be a good parent, I made my son pay for all the parts.
因为我是个很好的父亲，所以我让我的儿子大部分那个零件的钱让他自己出。
So children, you need to know what's in your future too.
所以孩子们，你们也应该知道你们的将来会是什么样子的。
Well, a few months later, I get another phone call from Noah.
几个月以后，我又接到一个挪亚给我打来的电话。
And this is what he said.
这是他说的。
Dad, I hit the church.
我撞了教堂。
This is one of those times where both of us are speaking English, but I didn't understand what he said.
这是一个场合，就是我们俩都说的是英语，但是我不知道他说的是什么。
So he repeated himself, Dad, I hit the church.
所以他重复了一遍说，爸，我撞了教会。
Well, I only live about 200 meters from the Southwood campus where he was, so I drove down there to take a look at his meaning.
所以因为我住在离教会就是200米远的地方，所以我去看一看，他说的撞了教会到底是什么个意思。
And just as he said, he was turning a corner, and as he turned the corner, a drink spilled into his lap, and he looked down, and when he looked back up,He hit one of the pillars of the church.
他这个拐弯的时候呢，他手里的饮料打翻在他的腿上，然后他要去抢救的时候呢，分心了，所以这个车呢就撞了教会的一个柱子。
But just like the first time, that's not the end of the story.
就像第一次一样，这个并不是故事的完结，还有故事。
It happened to be Christmas Eve.
这个是圣诞前夜。
So within just a couple of hours after he hit the church, we were going to have 1,000 people show up at the Southwood campus to go to the Christmas Eve service.
就在他撞那个柱子之后的大概两个小时的时间之后呢，就是我们教会的圣诞夜的聚会，大概有1,000个人要来。
So because I like to joke with my friend Trey, who was here a couple of two weeks ago or a month ago.
因为我喜欢跟我的这个朋友 Trey 就是。Southwood 的牧师两个星期前在这儿讲到的。
I decided to gift wrap the wreck and wrote to Trey from Santa.
所以我就把这个柱子用圣诞礼品给它包装了一下，然后写上给 Trey 是他们的牧师，这个来自于圣诞老人。
But what is the response to my son supposed to look like?
那我对我儿子的这个反应，到底应该是什么样子的反应呢？
In my father brain, I know he could have been driving slower.
按照我作为父亲的这个想法，他当然可以开得更慢一点，更小心一点。
In my father brain, I know he shouldn't have had a drink sitting where it could spill.
作为父亲，在我的脑子里，他当然最好不要手里拿这个饮料，然后有这个饮料打翻在身上的这个可能性。
But instead of becoming angry or mad at my son, I decided to be sad.About the circumstance.
但是我选择就是不是去来发怒或者是生气，而是选择伤心和担忧，为这个当时的情景。
Now why would I do that?
为什么我要这样做呢？
Obviously because I love my son.
毫无疑问是因为我爱我自己的儿子。
But I could also remember many foolish things that I had done when I was his age.
当然，我也记得我像他这样年纪的时候做过很多类似愚蠢的事情。
And I remember the kindness that my father had shown me.
我还记得像这种情况下，我父亲向我展示的善良。
So instead of being mad at the person, I chose to grieve the misfortune.
所以我没有去对人来发怒，而是对情景来表示担忧。
And I also grieved the situation that I had to fix the car that I had just fixed and also fix the church.
我也有那个伤心，就是我刚刚是前面是在修那个车，那现在我要修那个教会的柱子。
Funny enough, this story has a little bit at least to do with the passage that we're reading today.
很有意思的是，我刚才讲的这个故事跟我们今天要读的这段经文其实有相关的地方。
We've been walking through the book of Ephesians together.
And
we ended our time together in September by committing to not living the way that we used to live before we knew Christ.
然后我们九月份最后一次讲到的是讲到了我们应该不再像我们认识主耶稣之前的那样行为来做事情。
And in today's passage, we're looking at kind of the first step of helping us to live in the community, in the church, as a result to committing to this new way of life.
那么今天要讲的是我们承诺要做这个新的生活的这个承诺之后，我们怎样来走出这个第一步？ 而这个第一步就是在教会这个环境中间，我们应该怎样做？
And it's no coincidence, I think, from Paul that as we begin this new life, he starts with helping us to understand our speech.
其实也不奇怪，保罗在讲我们应该怎么做的时候，他首先想到的是我们应该怎样来说话。
Because in so many times in our new Christian life, it's our mouth, the words that we speak, that get us in so much trouble.
因为我们在我们基督徒的生命生活中间，特别是刚开始的时候，常常是我们不小心的说话，让给我们带来很多很多的麻烦。So
the passage this morning has a very interesting structure.
今天我们讲的这段经文有一个比较有意思的一个结构。Paul
is going to give us four different exhortations.
保罗会给我们四个不同的劝告劝勉。
And then he's going to give a summary statement.
然后会有一个总结的,
and then give us a fifth exhortation.
然后再给我们第五个劝勉。
And within each of these exhortations, there's also a structure.
每一个劝勉本身也有一个架构。
He's going to make a positive statement.
有一个正面的叙述,
a negative statement.
一个负面的叙述,
and then a reason why we should follow this exhortation.
然后 后面给出原因，为什么我们要遵守这个劝告。So
the first exhortation is this, that we should speak the truth with our neighbors.
第一个劝告是我们要与邻居说实话。The
negative is don't speak falsely.
负面的是要弃绝谎言。The
positive is do speak truthfully.
正面的是要说实话。And
the why is because we are members of one another, members of one body.
原因是我们互为肢体，我们是一个身体的肢体。
I think as an opening statement, Paul wanted those in Ephesus to know that speaking falsely is not part of our new life in Christ.
保罗在这个开场想要让以弗所教会的人知道说谎言不是我们新的生命的一个特征。
We don't gather together on Sunday mornings to use our words to tear one another down.
我们并不是在这里星期天早上的时候用语言来拆毁彼此。
But rather we gather together so that we can build one another up.
我们在这里是为了彼此建造。
Of course, we have to learn how to do this in this mixture of politeness but truth telling.
当然我们也要找到这个平衡，一方面要客气，另外一方面也要讲实话。As
we and we still must figure out this age-old question of who is my neighbor.
我们还是要搞清楚这个古老的问题，谁是我的邻居。As
we think about being neighbors or think about being in the body of Christ, really this aspect of being a neighbor has three different ways that it could play out in our lives.
在教会这个场景中间，邻居实际上可以应用到我们生活中间的三个方面。The
first is the people who actually live next to us.
第一个方面就是真正的邻居，就是那些住在你附近的人，他们是你的邻居。
It's still true that the people who live next to me are my neighbors.
刚才讲过了，你住在你旁边的邻居就还是你的邻居。
But there's a broader aspect of neighbors, that it's those who have needs that we can meet.
另外一个更广一点的定义，这个邻居就是那些有需要的人，我们可以提供他们这些需要的人，他们是我们的邻居。
This is like the story of Jesus in Luke chapter 10 when he talks about the good Samaritan who helps out someone in need because he could.
这个就是在路加福音第十章耶稣讲的好撒玛利亚人故事中间，就是有人有需要，我们能够帮助他，这个人是我们的邻居。
But in our passage this morning in Ephesians 4, the meaning of neighbor that is closest to the context is those who share our same faith.
我们今天在这段经文里头讲的邻居，是更主要的是讲到那些和我们一起有同样信仰的人。
And those who locally come together as one body to worship together.
而这些人是同样的信仰，然后我们在一个地方在一起敬拜，这些人就是教会，他们是我们的邻居。
And in this way, it's interesting because the church, even our congregation today, is comprised of people who might not have chosen one another to be friends.
这个很有意思的是，我们今天在这里的，我们的这些弟兄姐妹，我们是邻居，但是如果让我们自己选择的话，我们不一定选择所有的人作为我们的朋友，作为我们的邻居。
But because of what we believe, we find ourselves as part of the same body.
但是因为我们同样的信仰，我们成为一个身体的肢体。
So why is this biblical theme of neighbors so important for the church?
那这个圣经上的这个邻居的概念为什么对教会这样重要呢？
First, it's because we've become a new family together.
首先是因为我们成为一个家庭，一起成为一个家庭。
As our past passages have talked about, when we become believers in Christ, we form a new identity together.
就像我上一次题目上讲到的，当我们成为信徒之后，我们就有了一个新的身份，我们在一起有了一个新的身份。
Certainly for many in the first century, and it's true in many places on earth today, when you profess Christ, many times a family will put you out. They will put you aside.
在一世纪初期教会的时候，也包括我们今天在世界上很多地方，当你选择信基督的时候，你的家人和朋友有可能把你弃绝。
And so we find a new identity and we find a new family as those who come together to worship.
但是我们找到了另外一个身份，当我们在一起敬拜聚会的时候，我们有新的家庭。
Knowing this, Jesus institutes the church to further transcend the idea of the Jewish synagogue.
所以因为这个，耶稣设立了这个教会是超越了当时犹太教的会堂这样的一个概念。
Where formerly it was a group of like-minded people from within a more cohesive community, the church now is a mixture of lots of people from lots of places.
当时的犹太教的教堂，他们在一起的人都是思想比较接近、比较接近的这样的一个团体。而今天我们的教会，我们所有的人，我们有不同的文化，我们来自不同的背景。
So much of this is true that oftentimes the family that we find in other believers becomes closer and even more important than the family that we have that might have rejected us.
随着时间的推移，常常会发生的是，我们在肢体里头找到了这个家庭，这个关系要比我们原来还没有信主的那些家庭成员之间的关系来的还要紧密。
This reminds me of Jesus' own experience in Matthew chapter 12.
这提醒我耶稣他自己的经历，在马太福音十二章。
Where someone enters where he is teaching and says, "Hey Jesus, your mother and your brothers are waiting outside for you."
当他在教导的时候，有人跟耶稣说，耶稣，你的母亲和你的兄弟在外面等你。
And he says, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?"
然后耶稣说，谁是我的母亲，谁是我的兄弟。
And he said, "Here is my mother, and here are my brothers. For those who do the will of my Father in heaven are my brothers and my mother."
然后他说，这是我的母亲，这是我的兄弟。凡遵我天父旨意行的，就是我的就是我的弟兄，就是我的姐妹，就是我的母亲。
Second, we depend upon one another for growth and maturity within the body of Christ.
第二点是我们需要 彼此依靠来成长，来变得成熟。
This is something that I feel like is often overlooked in our generation today.
这一点我觉得在我们这个年代，这一点常常被忽略掉。
That Jesus arranged the structure for our spiritual growth to be dependent on living in community with other people.
耶稣设计好了这个架构，让我们属灵上的成长要在这个团体里头要彼此的依靠。
I'm not smart enough to do this alone.
我不是足够的聪明，我一个人自己我做不了。
Even if I read my Bible every day and practice all of the spiritual disciplines, there's something that happens in community that helps me mature as a believer.
哪怕是我天天读圣经，天天操练那些属灵的原则，我们这个团体里头我所经历的，仍然每天在帮助我能够成熟。
And to master being good with people means we need to spend time with people.
你要学会善待别人，你必须要跟别人一起花时间在一起交流。
To learn, to give feedback, to receive feedback, even when it's uncomfortable.
我们需要学习，需要给人建议，要接受别人的建议，哪怕有时候你会觉得不舒服。
I found that even after being a believer for more than 40 years, I still have rough edges to my life that need to be worn down and polished.
虽然我已经信主40多年，我发现我生命中间还有好多的棱角需要来磨平。
And even though I have the Bible which gives me truth and the Spirit of God that lives within me that gives me strength, I need other people to point out things about myself that I don't know.
虽然我有圣经给我真理，虽然有圣灵给我能力，我仍然需要别人来指出我，来帮助我，让我认识到一些我自己不认识到的事情。
The third reason the body of Christ is important is that we represent God's love and sacrifice to a non-believing world.
第三点就是，在不幸的世界面前，我们代表的是神的爱和神的牺牲。
It needs to be said that without being able to fulfill reason number one and two, we'll never be successful at this reason number three.
这个前面那个第一、第二这两个理由，如果没有第一、第二这两个理由的话，我们是做不到第三条。
There's something about needing to learn how to deal with one another within the church before we can do a very good job of representing Christ with those outside the church.
我们首先要在我们教会之间来彼此的相待，彼此的相爱，要做好这一点，我们才能在外人面前来做。
And every day people walk by our church wondering how we as believers can somehow have the answers to their problems. And wonder what's happening on the inside and how can it affect us on the outside.
Well, 如果外人看到我们教会的问题，他们可能会想，为什么这些人，他们认为他们有世界上的问题的答案。
Do we want to be effective at reaching those outside the church?
我们是不是想非常有效的来把福音传给那些教会外的那些人呢？
If so, then we need to cultivate a visible love for one another that can be experienced by those who enter into our church.
那如果是这样的话，我们要培养我们彼此之间教会内部的彼此的相爱，所以外面来的人能够经历到我们这种彼此相爱。
So let's have a quick moment of reflection.
所以我们来自我省察一下。
How are we doing?
我们到底做得怎么样？
How are we doing as neighbors who share a faith inside the church with our relationships?
我们作为因为有共同信仰成为邻居，我们怎么样来分享我们的信仰？
And how are we doing with our relationships outside the church?
我们怎么样来对待我们在教会以外的关系？
The way that we get along with one another, is it having an effect with those who are watching us to see if what we believe could solve some of their problems.
我们彼此之间在教会里头的关系，教会外面的人也能够看到，他们在看我们是不是真正能够有 世界上问题的答案。
Also from this passage, we need to understand what it means to speak the truth.
这段经文里头还有一个很重要的一点是怎么样来说真话。
Speaking the truth is to communicate how people are, but also how people can be more like Christ.
说真话的要点就是说人到底是什么样子，更重要的是怎么样来被耶稣来改变。
Speaking the truth also is how we mature in Christ.
讲真话同样也是我们怎样在基督里面成熟长大。
The goal is never criticism, but rather growth.
这个目的是不是去批评，而是成长。
Whether we are called to say something that is corrective or encouraging, we're never to tear down those in the body, but to edify them to move forward in their faith.
不管我们是出于指教还是改正这个目的，我们要做的要注意的是不是来拆毁，而是要来建造彼此。
We shouldn't just choose a church based on a location or even a language or the teaching.
我们选这个教会并不应该只是看根据这个教会的地址说的语言甚至是教会的教导。
But we should choose a community of faith that is going to help us mature in Christ by giving and receiving those things spoken in love.
我们作为我们要选择的是根据could you repeat? Sorry, I forgot about.
So not just choosing a church by the language or by location, but we should choose a community of people who is willing to speak to us in truth so we can mature in Christ.
我们要选择的不是基于教会的位置、语言或者是教会的教导，而是要选择了一个这样的一个团体，我们能够在中间一起能够成长，一起能够长大。
This aspect of being part of one body is so important to Paul. He uses it 7 different times just in this small letter to the Ephesians.
这个互为肢体的概念对保罗来说是那样的重要。他在这一卷书里，他用到7次提到互为肢体这个概念。
When it's done correctly, being members of one body is much like being that bond of servicemen who have gone to war.
如果你做好了，这个互为肢体就像是一帮要去上前线打仗的士兵之间的这种团结。
Or the camaraderie of a high-performing and successful sports team.
或者就像一个非常很厉害，然后表现非常好的一个运动团队的他们之间的这种团体精神。
At its base, it's a commitment to become better together.
这是一个承诺，这个承诺就是一起变得更好，是这样的一个承诺。
And it's a commitment to all the members of the body. It's a commitment that we can accomplish to help one another grow.
一个对所有的人的承诺，同样也是一个对我们能够成就所有事情的一个承诺，我们一起能够把事情做得更好。
The second exhortation is to be angry, but do not sin.
第二个劝勉是生气但不犯罪。
In a strange way, the positive side of this is to be angry and don't sin.
非常奇怪的是，这个正面的这个劝勉是生气但不要犯罪。
The negative is don't let the sun go down on your anger.
这个负面的是讲不可含怒到日落。
And the why is that continued anger gives the devil an opportunity to derail our faith.
这个原因就是如果我们一直在这个愤怒中间，我们就会给魔鬼留地步来影响我们的信仰。
What a strange imperative for Paul to say be angry.
保罗在这里这个命令说要生气或者可以生气，听起来好像一个非常奇怪的一个命令。
That there's some way biblically that this imperative can be fulfilled as a righteous response.
但是在圣经里头，要生气这是可以是一个出于义的一个回应。
But it absolutely mandates that we understand God's design and God's desires about those things we should be angry about.
但是我们一定要非常的清楚，是神的设计和神的愿望，对那些我们所应该要生气的事情、发怒的事情。
So it's impossible to be righteously angry without understanding the word of God.
所以你要为义而发怒，但是你不理解神的话语，那这个是不对的，你也是做不到的。
Let me see if we can understand this a little better.
我们来看看能不能大家一起来能够有一点更好的理解。
So here's a question for you.
有一个问题给大家。
What are the things in society, or even more specifically in the church, that make you want to pound your fist on the table?
这个问题是这个社会，甚至在这个教会里头有什么样的事情让你要拍桌子？
Something that would absolutely cause you to think about leaving the church or possibly being angry with your pastor if they were not done correctly.
这个事情就是到一个地步你觉得要离开这个教会，或者是你对牧师非常的生气，你要跟他好好的讲一讲。
I didn't know Lester wasn't going to be here. This is not something I planned.
我不知道那个邓牧师今天不在，所以这个并不是我原来计划好的。牧师不在的时候，我说这个话。
So let me tell you some of the things that I think I could be angry about, but still be within a right thinking.
我给大家几个例子，我们可以为这些事情来生气发怒，但是仍然是可以的。
If Grace Bible Church moved on to some other vision than making disciples, I would get a little angry.
如果 GBC 他们这个意向里头改变了，不再去，造就门徒，那我可能会发怒。
If we decided to defund all of our missionaries and not care about the gospel overseas, I would get a little angry.
那如果我们决定不再，财务上支持那些海外的传教士，不再去支持那个传教的事工，我可能会发怒。
If we began to diminish the role of God's word as the central place of our church, I would get a little angry.
那如果我们以任何的形式来轻看神的话语在教会里头的作用，那我也会发怒。
Or if we began to mistreat people who had been faithful workers for the kingdom, I would get a little angry.
那如果我们没有善待那些神忠实的仆人，那我也会发怒。
The problem is what I find is when I'm angry, it's oftentimes about my preferences.
但是我发现我自己发怒的时候，常常不是因为前面所讲的，而是因为我自己的爱好。
And in doing so, I can hurt other people and cause harm to the body of Christ.
而我这样做的时候，我可能会伤害其他人。也在教会造成伤害。
To be honest, sometimes when I'm angry, I can feel a little bit like the Incredible Hulk.
就是有时候我发怒的时候，生气的时候，就有点像这个电影里头，Incredible Hulk.
Maybe you know the Marvel character, right?
你们可能记得，这个我以前讲过的 Marvel character.
You have the mild-mannered Dr. Banner, such a nice guy, until he gets angry.
Well, 里面有一个脾气非常好的 Dr. Banner.
Dr. Banner.
Dr. Banner, 他脾气非常好，但是他可能也会发怒，那时候脾气就不会好。
And sometimes his anger is for good use, but most of the time it's just to smash things.
他的发怒有时候是带出来好的结果，但是大部分的情况下就是把东西都砸坏。
So maybe you remember this from the movie, maybe you don't if you didn't see it, but Captain America is now telling Dr. Banner now would be a good time to be angry.
不知道你有没有看过这个电影，你如果看过这个电影你就知道，没有看过你可能不理解。这个美国队长在电影里头就会跟Dr. Banner 说，现在你应该生气了，应该砸东西了。
And he reveals his secret back to Captain America and says, actually, I'm always a little angry.
然后他对美国队长说，我的秘密你知道吗？我的秘密是我一直是在发怒的。
And sometimes I feel that way through different seasons of my life, that anger is not very far away from me. It's it can be a quick response.
其实在我生命中间不同的季节里头，有时候我自己觉得，其实这个发怒就是离我很近很近，也是常常是一个非常非常快的一个反应，就是发怒。
But that kind of anger does not accomplish the righteousness of God.
但是这样的怒不能成全神的义。
As believers, we have this lifelong goal of relinquishing our struggle with anger, but at the same time, not becoming apathetic about things that are unjust.
在我们属灵的生命中间，我们常常要挣扎的一件事情，一方面，我们不能对那些不义的事情来非常的冷漠，但是我们同时也要放弃这种动不动就要发怒的这种冲动。
And it's in this line that we see Jesus even get angry a few times in the gospel stories.
就在福音故事里头，耶稣甚至也发怒有几次。
Mainly as he overturned the money changing tables in the temple.
最出名的就是他推翻圣殿里头换钱那个桌子。
Because those who were supposed to be leading the nation were making a mockery of God for personal gain.
因为他发怒的原因是那些本来应该领导带领以色列人的那些人，他们是在嘲弄神他们在嘲弄神，他们想自己从中得益。
The third exhortation is this: to do honest work and do not steal.
第三个劝勉是做正经事，不要偷盗，不要偷窃。
The negative obviously is don't steal.
负面的自然是不要偷窃。
Talks about doing honest work with our own hands.
正面的是亲手做正经事，要劳力。
And the why is so that we have something to contribute and share with those that are in need.
这个原因就是我们亲手做工，我们就可以有多余的来分给缺少的人。
Every time I read this passage, I think of a joke that a pastor told when I was very young.
我每次读这段经文的时候，我就想到我还年轻的时候听一个牧师讲的一个笑话，有关这段经文。
And he told the joke because he wanted to express the importance of grammar.
他讲这个故事的原因就是让我们要认识到这个语法非常非常的重要。
And he said, "Be careful, because this is what the passage says: Let him who steals." Steal no longer, working with his hands.
他说你们要注意啊，这个经文是这样说的，让那些偷窃的人不再偷窃，而是用自己的手去做工。
But if you just move the comma, it says, "Let him who steals steal, no longer working with his hands."
你把这个逗号移两个位置，这个经文就这不是经文，这个句子就变成让那些偷窃的人继续偷窃，不用自己亲手做工。
So be careful how you read your Bibles.
所以读圣经也要小心。
Why, no doubt this is rooted in a specific problem within the Ephesians church of Paul's day. It still gives guidance for us today as well.
这个劝勉当然是植根于当时保罗那个时代的以弗所教会的一些特别的事情，但是这个教导对我们今天仍然有实用的意义。
Because wherever there is a gathering of generous people committed to helping others, there's always a few that want to take advantage of that generosity.
因为任何一个时候，当有人慷慨地去帮助别人的时候，同样也会有一些人来占这个便宜，来利用别人的慷慨。
And it's not that receiving help from the church is bad.
本来接受教会的慷慨和帮助本身没有问题。
We're committed to helping people through difficult times.
因为我们这是我们的承诺，我们要帮助其他的人在困难的时候要帮他们度过。
But we are not to abuse the charity of some to become lazy ourselves.
但是我们不能利用别人的爱心来因为我们自己的懒惰。
Whether that's through the reception of that charity or just saying others are giving so we don't need to.
利用别人的爱心有两种情况，一个就是接受，另外一个就是说人家在做了我就可以不用做。
We're not to abuse that charity, instead we're to work and to be able to give generously with those that are in need.
所以我们不能滥用别人的那种慷慨和爱心，我们要做的是自己做工，所以我们有多余的可以给分享给别人。
This passage also tells us how we should work.
这个经文同样也告诉我们，我们应该怎样去做工。
And we're to work honestly.
这个 怎样去做工，就是要诚实的做工。
We're not to use our intellect and our social skills or our opportunities for dishonest gain.
我们不应该用我们自己的智慧，我们的社交能力来取得不当之利。
We're not to cheat on our taxes.
我们不应该这个税表来作假。
To cut corners in our research.
或者在做研究的时候也可以作假。
Or to skimp in our ethics.
或者在我们的这个道德方面对自己要求不是很高。
But rather we should do honest work above reproach so that no person can send an insult our way.
所以我们要做的是我们要诚实的做工。我们的行为要无可指责，所以人家不可以有机会来侮辱我们、指责我们。
We should always do our work as unto the Lord, so that our good reputation can help lead others to the knowledge of Christ.
所以我们要做工的时候，要想到我们做工是为神做，所以我们的好的行为、我们好的名声，能够把其他人带领到教会中间来。
The fourth exhortation is to speak no corrupting talk.
第四个劝勉是。不说污秽的言语。
So the negative is no corrupting talk.
这个负面的是不说污秽的话语。
The positive is to talk, to speak words that are good for building up as fits the occasion.
正面是要随时说造就人的话。
And the why is so that we, that it may give grace to those who hear.
这个原因就是这样让听见的人得益处。
The word that is used here for corruption is a word that means diseased.
在这里污秽这个话这个污秽这个词这个本意就是得病。
It's words that mean that spoil or steal life instead of giving life.
这个字的本意就是来破坏来偷盗生命而不是给生命。
As stated before, we as believers are to focus our words on that which encourage and instruct to be edifying to those in the body of Christ.
我们前面讲到了我们要说的话应该是来指正来教导来我们一起在教会互为肢体的人中间一起来成长。
Because when we do that, we speak the value that God has for other people so that they can understand how much he loves them.
因为我们这样做的时候我们能够来显示神让我们能够看到在我们中间身上的那个价值。
So when we're speaking to people or even about people, we should keep this thought in mind to use uplifting words.
所以不管是我们在跟人说话还是在讲别人，我们一定要记住我们要说造就人、鼓励人的话。
So now Paul gives us a summary statement, do not grieve the Holy Spirit.
所以在这里保罗给了我们一个总结的一个句子，就是不要让圣灵来担忧。
Throughout church history, this has been an interesting question for people to ponder what it looks like to grieve the Holy Spirit.
在教会的历史上有很多很多的讨论，大家一直在想要来理解让圣灵担忧到底指的是什么样的一个情况。
I like what Charles Spurgeon, a famous pastor in the late 1800s, said about grieving.
我喜欢施布真牧师十七世纪一个非常出名的牧师，他讲的，他来解释这个担忧。
He said that grieving is anger that is sweetened by love.
他说担忧是一个被爱所加了糖的这样的一个愤怒。
It's a type of love that allows a sin or a grievance to move from the person to the circumstance.
这是一种爱让我们对这个冒犯这个不好的事情这个反应从对人的愤怒转到对这件事情的一个担忧上面来。
And so he puts this summary passage in this kind of funny place because it's not at the end.
这个非常奇怪的是，他这个总结是放在一个很奇怪的地方，因为他的五个劝勉还没有讲完。
And part of that is because the above passage talks about words that we use.
因为这个原因，一个原因就是前面所讲的这个劝勉是讲到了我们用的话。
And the second.The part that comes after talks about our responses to people.
接下来要讲到这个劝勉是我们怎么样来回应 对人来回应。
So why did he say don't grieve the Holy don't grieve the Holy Spirit and not God or the Father or the Son?
为什么他说是不要让圣灵担忧，而不是说让父神担忧，或者是子神来担忧，而说的是让圣灵担忧呢？
And I think it has specifically to do with the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
因为他这样讲是跟圣灵在我们生命里头所做的工作，他的责任是有关的。
Because the Holy Spirit seals us in our salvation.
因为圣灵给了我们得救的印证。
And when we sin, the knowledge of that security, we begin to doubt.
当我们对我们自己这个得救的确据有怀疑的时候，是那个印证让我们知道我们得救了。
The Holy Spirit brings conviction in our life.
圣灵给我们生命中间有确据。
But when we grieve the Holy Spirit, then we become callous.To how the Holy Spirit points out sin in our lives.
但是当我们让圣灵担忧的时候，我们就变得冷淡。当圣灵提醒我们犯罪的时候，我们就比较冷淡，不去接受。
And the Holy Spirit enlightens us as we read Scripture.
圣灵在我们读圣经的时候来教导我们，给我们启示。
And when we sin and grieve the Holy Spirit, it begins to dim the light of our understanding.
但是如果我们犯罪，我们让圣灵担忧的话，就像我们读圣经的时候，我们这个灯就会变暗，让我们不能理解神的话语的启示。
When we sin through our words, we need to remember that the Holy Spirit is not evicted from our life, but is restricted to empower us to do His will.
我们当我们犯罪当我们让圣灵担忧的时候，我们要记得的是，其实圣灵并没有完全离开我们，但是因为我们的行为，我们来限制了圣灵给我们的能力，让我们能够用到。
So we come to the final exhortation.
好，下面我们再讲最后一个劝勉。
Be kind to one another.
要恩慈相待。
The negative is to put away bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, and malice. To put the bad things away.
Well, 这个负面的是把那些坏的东西去掉。这个坏的东西就是一切的苦毒、恼恨、愤怒、嚷闹、诽谤，并一切的阴毒。
And the positive, of course, is to be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving.
而正面的是以恩慈相待，存怜悯的心，彼此饶恕。
And the why?Is because Christ did it for you.
原因就是神在基督里做了这些，为你做了这些。
Bitterness is a word that means to hold on to sharp resentment.
这个苦毒就是有这个非常强烈的这个怨恨，你一直在这个状态之中。
Wrath is more of a flash of fury.
这个愤怒就是一种爆发，愤怒的一种爆发。
The word anger means to be in a state of anger.
这个生气就是你一直在这个发怒是一直处在一种生气的状态。
Clamor is the sound of a loud scream.
这个嚷闹就是一个非常嘈杂的声音，大家都能听见。
Slander is this word that we get from blasphemy from, that is to speak against someone.
这个诽谤就是讲别人不好的话。
And malice is just a form of ongoing wickedness.
这个苦毒或者阴毒就是一直在进行的那种非常不好的那种状态。
So to help us understand this, I tried to illustrate this with an iceberg.
为了更好的让大家来理解，我就用这个冰山这个比喻来讲这个发怒。
Because as we know, sometimes we can, there's only part of an iceberg that we can see, but the larger part is looming beneath the waters.
因为冰山我们大家都知道，我们所看到的就冰山的一角只是一部分，那更多的是在水面以下我们看不到的。
So above the line we have wrath, which is kind of that outburst of anger that we sometimes see ourselves or see others doing.
看得见的就是有时候我们会愤怒，我们看到自己在做，我们也能看到别人在做，这是看得见的。
And anger just lurks below that as this constant state, kind of like the Incredible Hulk.Of being always a little angry.
但是还有一种愤怒，就是在 这个水面以下别人看不见，但是你知道你一直有这种愤怒的情绪，就像 Incredible Hulk 这个里面的人一样，随时会爆发，但是还没有爆发看不见。
Clamor is out loud and maybe a little impersonal, just someone who's speaking anger in general. You know, we see them in the marketplace that are just mad at everyone, the Karens of the world.
这个嚷闹，这个嚷闹是一种这个很嘈杂的声音，但不一定是针对具体的某一个人，啊，不是，啊，针对具体的某一个人。
And bitterness is something deeper than that. It's people that are enslaved to that type of anger.
啊，这个苦毒实际上是同样的一种发怒，但是你是变成一种啊，这个发怒的一个罪，你一直在这个状态下，但是看不见别人。
And last, oh, slander is both out loud and personal, that there's a point to the person, there's a person involved as a target for that anger.
这个诽谤就是同样也是说出来大家都能听到，但是是直接针对一个人。
And last is malice, which is kind of anger personified, that has taken over the whole of a person.
而这个阴毒就是实际上也是会变成对人的一种愤怒，但是是在表面以下，也许有到一某一个时刻会完全来暴露。
So let me ask a question as we close.
所以在我们结束之前，我想问大家一个问题。
How are you doing at your speech, your Christian speech, in controlling your anger as a believer?
你作为一个基督徒，你说话的时候是什么样子？你是如何来控制自己的怒气的？
Are you using anger and harsh speech to motivate and to control either in your household or in your workplace or in your church?
你是不是用这种严厉的语言用愤怒来想达到控制在你家中或者在你的职场甚至在教会？
Or are you growing in your ability to speak kindness, to extend forgiveness as Christ has done for you?
还是你在成长中间来学习恩慈相待，彼此饶恕，就像基督为我们做的那样。
This is the picture that Christ has put before us.
这是基督，耶稣基督在我们面前呈现的一个图案，要我们学习的。
Let me pray.
我们祷告。
Father, we thank you for all that you do in our lives and pray that as we so deeply desire to affect others outside the church, that first we would learn how to respond to those inside the church, that we are one body, we are one family, Lord, that's here. And the best picture that we can give our community is as a coming together as a group that loves one another, that extends kindness and forgiveness for all that we do wrong, Father, because that's the picture of what you've done for us. And we pray that through your Spirit, you would allow us to be able to follow in your footsteps. And we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.